Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to your favorite show. That's your favorite show, Browner and Lawhead. I'm John Browner, and soon you will hear the return of the one and only Jason Lawhead from his vacation, traveling across the world. But you know damn well there's only one thing to talk about. But before I get to that, you can hear us on YouTube. You can hear us at the iTunes podcast store under the Kaplan and Crew emblem. Most importantly, this is the 2-year anniversary week of the return of the Mightier 1090. We are now the Mightier 1090 ESPN because we're constantly growing. And now we'll be doing football on Sundays.
Football.
So there's so many great things happening with the station. We're getting this ball back rolling. And we will have so much more information coming to you this week, later in the week, because we only do Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. But Jason, welcome back, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a funny little travel story. I'm jonesing to do some radio with you today, man. It's good to be back.
Chitter chatter.
Oh, yeah. Good to be back. And in the whole mix of all kinds of drama and, you know, here in town, all around sports. So, yeah, man, I've been following the trials and tribulations of the car and, all that stuff. And I got a little story of my own, nothing to that degree, but another kind of annoyance, travel annoyance, but, we'll save that for later, but, good to be back, bro.
Yeah, I'll tell the tire story, and he can tell the computer story, and we'll kind of end the show on a you won't believe this situation. By now, everyone knows Fernando Tatis Jr. has been suspended for 80 games for a banned substance, basically a steroid, after being drug tested by Major League Baseball. He was set to return sometime this week, whether starting today in Miami or a home game here on Thursday, but he won't be doing that. He'll be gone for 80 days. I also want to talk about an event I went to with a new friend of mine, Howard Wright, at Pro Kids First Tee. We'll get into all that at the end of the show.
Oh, nice.
I forgot to mention that in the very beginning. Where do you start with this? This guy's a moron. This guy's a moron. He's a fantastic player. Or so we thought, because now we know he's taking steroids. I want to be very careful. He took steroids, gave you an excuse of why he popped positive, but not once did he try to actually fight the positive popping, because it was quote unquote a ringworm medication. See, what you don't know about Major League Baseball, some of you people out there, once you pop positive, you have an opportunity to say, wait, I pop, what was it? Okay, well, I've been taking this cream for this infection that I have, or me and my wife are trying to have a baby, and I've been on this type of medication. But there are ways where you can go, hey, this may be where this came from. I want to appeal this. Now, you'll get 30 games for being stupid, but 30 is better than 80. He got 80. Because he dropped his appeal, and he called himself taking responsibility for not knowing what he put in his body, even though rubbing ringworm cream on your neck would make you pop. You would have to rub so much of it onto your neck. Jason, what do you think of this?
I think it's all those excuses are used up. All those excuses are used up. What did he go down? What did they go down the what hasn't been used yet? Ringworm cream? They've all been used up. I didn't know I was taking it. That's all been used up. That wolf has been cried to the hill. And this just shows you right now, I'm going to try to be optimistic in this sense, that I'm going to be optimistic that the best news about Fernando Tatis kind of just revealing a little bit more of who he is that the Padres went out and got guys. They went out and got guys that the Dodgers should have got or the Yankees should have got. And guess what? Instead of this being a, hey, we maybe only got a guy at the deadline or whatever, but it wasn't Soto or it wasn't, a big name closer, whatever.
This would have been typical, oh my gosh, what world are we living in San Diego? The positive thing here is AJ Preller. The fact that he went out and he moved all those things and did what he did and he moved mountains to get this roster here before Tatis even shows up. But I'll tell you what, it just kind of reveals a little bit more about are these the guys we're really going to win with? Or is it the guys like Soto who came in and even though he was struggling in Washington at the plate, he still had a on-base percentage of 420, right? He's still a money ball type of player. He's a game changer. And so, or do we want to start putting these guys in the locker room? Because we could have really taken a bullet on this one had we really just thought Tatis coming back's enough. And, you know, maybe we'll try to make a splash, but we're not going to go over the top, which they did. Thank God. Thank God that the Padres made these deals before all this, because the egg would have been scalding on your face. And I just think at this point you sit there and you go, really? Like, after we've already kind of like said, hey, man, what are you doing in the offseason? Start thinking a little bit. And I don't care, even if you thought it's not a big deal, I'm just trying to get healthy. Look, same thing with Calvin Ridley. I don't care how much he bet or if it was one time. You know, like, that's a thing. Don't do steroids. Don't bet on football. I don't care if it's a dose of cream that you think that that's all it is and whatever you're doing.
A tic-tac,
or if it's a $50 on me getting more than 8 catches today in the game. You can't do that. You know you can't. Guys have been getting caught from the beginning of time for this.
Listen, the list of excuses at this point are as long as the list of things black men cannot do. Can't walk, can't jog, can't drive, can't sleep in your own apartment. Like, the ringworm, the me and my wife were trying to get pregnant. Like, the I didn't even know what this. I got this from GNC. Like,
right. That's the list. Yeah.
The list of excuses are so massive that none of them are believable. Because here's the reason why what happened with Fernando Tatis bugged me the most. If you think people are going to believe your story, okay, let me paint you a picture. You haven't played all year. You've been under the Padres medical staff microscope since you got back to America. They've been checking your wrist, your arm area, since you got back to America. And you mean to tell me that you had a issue on your neck and these people who are in charge of your entire body being healthy, you never said to them, hey, what's going on with this? Can you guys give me something for this? Not once. But your poor mother, she gets dragged into this because now she's posting stuff about your neck on Instagram, which every mother will defend their child, right or wrong, whatever the case may be. And kudos to her. But mama, you got to sit this one out, because I don't care what he says. You've been under the Padres medical staff's microscope since you got back here. And if you think people are going to believe, you just went over the counter for some ringworm cream. It's not believable. Mm-mm. So fall on your sword and go, look, I was hurt. I was having a tough time. And so Robinson Cano gave me some advice about how to get better.
Yeah.
At least this way you can still blame it on somebody.
Right.
Robinson Cano gave me some advice on how to get better, and it sped up my healing. I feel great, but unfortunately I've tested positive for a banned substance, and I'm going to be out for 80 games.
Right.
I learned a lesson. Hopefully moving forward, you guys can forgive me. I put a black eye on the team and on the organization that I never wanted to do. Because when they brought Robinson Cano in, God, this looks bad now.
It does.
This looks really, really bad now. You brought in a guy who he's close family friends with, who's like a big brother to him, who got popped twice as recently as 2020 for the exact same thing he gets popped for. That's not a coincidence, man.
And as quickly as the Padres got rid of him, it almost feels like they knew something was going on and they can't, oh boy, get Cano out of here. And get him out of here. It's almost like if we get, and you know, that's another reason, like how many veils are over this kind of story when you look back at that and you sit here and you go, well, if they're not even going to protest the suspension, you know, this was lying in wait almost. I mean, this was something where, you know, league security office had some information that was like, look, when this guy's ready to come out and play, he's going to get tested and he's going to have it. And you're right. You know, the deflections he made during, and this is almost asks you, embarrassing. This almost asks you, if you're Preller, you have to ask yourself, and I don't care what it does to whatever side of the fence, either side of the fan base sits on or whatever you think, you have to really ask yourself, you know, do we move this guy? Do we move this guy and try to get arms?
So we had this conversation on the Kaplan and Crew show, and it's interesting that you brought this up. What? So I'm going to ask you, the individual, if you're Preller, what would you do?
Well, I'd examine that for sure, because I'm the kind of guy, once you become an adult, you get more adulting in life, right? We're both, I'm hitting 50, you're at 40, you know where, you know, right. We are both in that, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody in their exactly right mind that is about. Growing at these ages understands what I'm talking about. And when you start really putting it together and you start going, this isn't fantasy baseball. I don't have a fantasy baseball team. I need guys that can win it all ultimately, right? You need... Between the ears, Fernando Tatis, as good as he is at the plate and wherever, he has to be Mookie Betts between the ears, and he's far from it. And you have to ask yourself, can we maximize something for the contract he's got left to somebody knowing that he's got 80 games on the block to some maybe some young arms? Look, to get Soto, to get these guys, we had to give up some farm. You know what? Maybe go get some of that farm that's the next couple of arms ready to come to the big leagues so Soto does stick around and he sees that, you know, we did go back and get a Mackenzie Gore type of talent, young arm, a Shane Bieber, go and pluck something from a system where a team might need a big player, a splash player, and they're looking that maybe he can be the change, right? I don't know. Go dive into the, you know, some of these organizations and see who needs to turn. You know, the Detroit Tigers need a name now. Cabrera is going to be leaving. They're letting him go off into the sunset at a big price tag, and they're going to have all kinds of money to spend when he goes away. And, you know, I'm just saying, I'm trying to think. I would examine it for sure.
For me, I wouldn't do it. Here's why. He's still very young. And at 23, regardless of how much money you have or what you're doing, you're still 23.
I get it, John, but these windows.
Hold on.
I know.
As a general manager, it's your responsibility to have a backup plan for every plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe they knew about this. Now, obviously, as an organization, you don't tell anybody. But the first time, because they obviously test you twice to make sure that the first one was accurate. When he probably got popped the first time, they probably got a call. And they said, wait, oh, God, great. We are going to get Soto, and we don't care what it takes. Because I think now that you look at the massive overhaul that this roster had on the trade deadline, I think they knew. And they made this move knowing that the guy who they thought they were getting, that guy might not actually exist anymore. They thought they were getting a rising star in a game of baseball who was going to give you 140 to 150 games a year, some fantastic plays, and he was going to be a little rough to handle at times because of he was caught. He's the son of a major leaguer who became a phenom at a level that we rarely see. And since that happened, I think they kind of knew who they were dealing with. But the steroid pop changes everything. It utterly changes everything. Now, as an organization, I hope now we can get him under a little more control. We can be able to speak directly to him now that he's pretty much tarnished us and him at the same time, because that's what this did.
But how many times is that going to be said? That sentence that you're saying right now, that sentence that you just said, how many more times can that be said? Because that's not the first time. This steroid isn't the first time that sentence has come out of your mouth or anybody's mouth about when you go, okay, you know, the, you know, the what I was going to, when I was going to interrupt there, and I'm sorry for doing that, just because I really believe that you have to examine it, because when you sit here, you go, you know, the Padres, yes, he's young. He's got all these things that you can excuse and say these things, but this ain't the Dodgers. This ain't the, you know, this is the Padres. This window, I don't care who they've got, that window doesn't stay open long, right? I mean, they're trying to. I really believe Preller is trying to push a window here that the Padres maybe have never had as open in the next handful of years. And let's hope so. But in that, with that being said, he can only push it open so much, right? Before, you know, contracts, other teams, whatever. And so how many times can you say that sentence before that window, he can't hold that thing up high, as high as he put it anymore? So that's why, you know, and what young arms are going to need arms along the way down the road. You know, Darvish ain't going to be there forever. Snell's not there.
Is this. You asked how many times can that excuse be repeated for him? How many times can a person tolerate the mistakes that a professional athlete can make? How often can you say, well, he's a young guy? How often can you continue to let the blame game pretty much be the reason why he stays on the roster? You know why? Hot girl scale. Same thing. Hot girl scale. How hot is she? That's how much crazy I'm going to take. How good is he? That's how much crazy I'm going to take.
It's when like that crazy meme. She's a 10, but she takes banned substances. She's a 10, but she drives a recklessly on a scooter. You know, like it's like basically that. Yeah.
How much am I willing to take when the production doesn't outweigh the foolishness? That then, when they reach at an apex, when you go, he's so good, but he's such a pain. The second the pain gets higher than the apex, I'm out. I'm out. Fans will understand. Hopefully, I mean, that person will never understand. But that's when I'm out. That's when I will have reached my point. Because at the end of the day, it's still a business. And you need this guy because contractually, you may be obligated to him unless he does something else stupid, which no motorcycle riding is in your contract and no steroids is in your contract. So he's now violated that same contract that everybody keeps talking about he got too early. They're now two strikes. Actually, three, because he got in two motorcycle accidents. There are now three strikes against that contract that if they wanted to get out of it, they could. Now, it'll probably be some court battles and some other issues, but you could get out of that contract if you wanted to, because he's giving you the opportunity to. I don't think that they will.
Problems are the strikes are getting worse, too. You know, when the third strike is an 80-game suspension on your way back from the second strike, which was missing 80 games. You know, you start scratching your head here and you go, I mean, what's the next strike here? What's the next strike going to be? Him striking someone? Right? Well, I mean, before you can get rid of this thing? So I
don't hands, man. I hope that, you know, I'm out on him, to be personally honest with you. I'll always cheer for him. I want to see him play in a Padres uniform. I hope he finishes an illustrious career in a Padres uniform, but the idea of counting on him, I'm not counting on him. He's icing on the cake at this point. He's the cherry on top of the sundae. That's it.
You heard the sound bites from his teammates the last few days, just direct, kind of matter of fact, like, you know, see him in 80 games and we're doing what we're doing over here with or without him.
Mike Clevenger said it best. We got everything we need in this room right now, and he was not in the room. Yep. So hats off to these guys for literally addressing it. Like, they didn't run from it. They didn't beat around the bush about it. Every person who I heard speak about it gave you their honest, raw answer, to the point where Machado didn't even say his name. So I think that we have gotten to a point with his behavior that the men in that locker room have had it. They've had
adulting.
It.
It's adulting.
Yeah.
I was talking about earlier.
So that news absolutely shook everything. Obviously, you knew we couldn't have been a part of it because it happened at a time because we're Monday through Wednesday and it happened after that. So I couldn't wait to get here to talk about it. I saved some of my best material for this show as opposed to firing that bullet on the earlier show. But nevertheless, there's still so much left to go over. Jason's computer had a snafu as to why he wasn't on the show last week. My car had a snafu, which I had a lot of people chime in on. Even some people putting it under a microscope, which is also always fun when you post something on the internet. I had an unbelievable experience with a new friend of mine by the name of Howard Wright at a charity event. I'll get to some of that. But when we come back, before we get to all of that, if I told you at 34, you could 33, 30, 33, 34, you could retire with a couple $100 million in the bank, would you do it? Because somebody's out there threatening that retirement. Who that person is, we'll let you know when we come back. John Browner, Jason Lawhead, Browner and Lawhead, on the 2-year anniversary of the Mightier 1090. Welcome back to the Mightier 1090 ESPN. It's an anniversary, man. So I might have had a little something in this container here that I probably wasn't supposed to, but you're drinking to the occasion.
Nice.
And I am always excited about this opportunity to be with my brother Jason Lawhead Monday through Wednesday, talking sports, talking comedy, talking life, talking steroids. Jason, have you ever talked retirement?
Oh, God, no. No, never. It's not even in my thoughts. I mean, I'm not like Johnny Workaholic. I'm not like one of these guys that pretends he works harder than everybody else, but I like work. I was jonesing today to get back on the show. I love when I get to do comedy. I got to do, you know, a corporate gig last week, and I get to love when I get to ref hoops. So I couldn't imagine retiring until kind of like older on, when I'm like, all right. But even then, like, I think it's not for everybody, right? Retiring is not for everybody. I think some people die shortly after they retire, and some people can work till they drop dead like Don Rickles. I mean, ideally, that's what I always wanted, to be like a working comedian enough.
Don Rickles?
Well, a working comedian enough where people still wanted to come see me at 90, and I was just like, oh, he did his last show, and then the old man croaked in his sleep. That would be ideal, to never retire that way. I mean, I don't want to be 85 reffing basketball. I would do talk radio. I mean, look at Vin Scully. He did it, you know, broadcasting. You can do that. So, yeah, man, I wouldn't want to retire. How about you?
A comedian can never, I mean, I don't consider myself a comedian. A comedian can never retire. You never stop telling jokes.
Stop creating and being creative and doing something. But a stand-up comedian does, they oftentimes don't, but they still do retire from the performing side of it. But yes, as far as working and working your, you know, what you love to do, I think you're right. I would agree they probably never retire.
So retirement comes about because, as we all know, Kevin Durant has reached an impasse with the Brooklyn Nets management. Coach and I, apparently the owner, after a dinner where Kevin Durant reiterated his trade request. Now there is a rumor, according to Mark Stein, which you can believe all these rumors all you want, because at some point Kevin Durant will come back right before training camp and say, I never said any of that. The dinner I had with Joseph Tsai was fantastic.
That was my burner account.
Right. I had the veal. Kevin Durant is now threatening, according to Mark Stein, like I said, to retire if he's not traded. I don't know if any of you know the storyline of Kevin Durant's "I just like the hoop." I don't think there's many other people in the NBA that love to play basketball at the level that Kevin Durant just literally likes playing basketball. Like, he genuinely just loves playing basketball. And when that is exposed about you, this threat has the weight of a feather. He's not going to retire.
No.
And if you're trying to help your trade value, my man, that ain't the way to do it. So this idea of him retiring is absolutely bogus. I don't expect for him to show up like Ben Simmons did with the Sixers with a cell phone in his pocket practice. Like,
he's got way too much personal pride for the statistic before he would do that.
Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players to ever play basketball. And this is not a Michael Jordan situation where he got burned out by becoming the most famous man on the planet and his father dying and it just becoming too much. But he still played a sport. Like, I don't expect to see Kevin Durant playing in the NBA 2K League because, you know, he's always had this burning desire to be an arcade professional. I honestly think that Kevin Durant will play for the Nets next year. I don't think Steve Nash will be the coach. And I think whatever his issue is with Sean Marks, they'll figure it out. Because the idea that he was retired is so bogus on his face, it's almost as poor as the excuse of Fernando Tatis's excuse about the ringworm.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to retire, first off, you're right. Secondly, yeah, this isn't the way to get traded, man. And I don't know if I'm another team, even if I love Durant's game, if I'm another team and that's how he's conducting business to get traded, it reminds me of an old story back where I grew up with some high school basketball coaches. This one kid wanted to transfer and play for another coach because he didn't like his coach at the high school. And the other coach, who was a great coach, who had a team he didn't really need to get, he was like, "No, if you don't like that dude, you're going to hate me. You're not transferring here. Come play for me. You don't like him, you're going to hate me, bro. Like, you don't think just because we're winning over here, that doesn't mean, like, you're that fit or whatever. That's not the way to do it, right? It's a scenario. That's just not the way to do it. Because if I look at that, I go, well, yes. And you say he is one of the greatest basketball players to ever live. Humanly, yes, I agree. He's, yes. In my opinion, he's literally one of the greatest just scorers, pure just scorers from all areas of the floor ever. I mean, maybe from every spot on the floor, the greatest scorer in the history of the game. From every spot. If you were to just play a go, what's that?
No, I agree.
I mean, if you were to just go shoot it from the deep corner, shoot it from the short corner, shoot a turnaround one-handed hook, shoot a three from 6 feet behind the arc, shoot a runner from the elbow, shoot a pull-up in transition, shoot a, a spin dribble, one dribble, no dribble, all of it at any feet from the basket. There's not a better score in the history of basketball. So that's why the Nets don't want to trade this guy. I mean, at the end of the day, right. You can't conduct business like that. So if I'm the Nets, I'm a little afraid that, not that he's going to retire, but that he's such a statistical stat stuffer. I know he's going to do that, but will it be at the behest of maximum team effort? Is he going to give me maximum team effort to go deep in the playoffs with a Kyrie? Can these two guys together get wired enough to give maximum team effort at still needing them to be the just ridiculous individual players statistically that they are? Because we need that, but not at, falling victim to the team just not being a good team because you can beat them in areas in the fourth quarter and execute in places where they're not out to beat you that night. So, you got to worry about, can you get a really good deal if something, I just don't think there's a better, this has to get fixed throughout the season by winning. And that's the only way the Nets are going to feel comfortable. Guys on the floor, guys winning, guys beating good, these guys beating good teams on the schedule when they show up on the schedule, winning road trips, staying on the floor, and being a team that, like, can develop Ben Simmons into the player that we think he should be. Because if that's hitting a roadblock like it is in Philly, especially come playoff time, that will never be a stable situation. They will always have this toxicity. So as an owner, you have to sit there and go, I know he's not going to retire, but is the threat, is there something out there to explore instead of just folding my arms and said, you picked Nash, he's the coach, you're playing, shut up and go out and win games. Because that's not going to be the way to get Kevin Durant to maximize right. the team effort in his game.
I think Kevin Durant is on the verge of really putting himself in a almost unrecoverable situation. You spent the entire offseason telling people you don't want to play for the current team that you built from coach to player. You then, and this is after leaving, quite possibly the greatest fit in the history of basketball that's ever been created in Golden State. This is after leaving right. a guy who will go down as one of the greatest basketball players ever in Russell Westbrook, regardless of how people like it statistically. He's eligible and would make the Hall of Fame today, right now. You left that stacked team to go to an even more stacked team to try to build your own stacked team to then go where? So if I'm a general manager, as great as he is, what am I giving up to get him? Not a lot, because the team he's rumored closest to, being the Boston Celtics, well, they just beat him 4-0.
Right.
And I'm finna now gut my team and give it to the team who we just beat 4-0 for a guy who, although he was good, we got one of those already.
Right.
We got one. We got a scoring machine who can almost score from any place on the court. Younger, hungrier.
Who can really actually play, you know, as great as Durant is, he can play
82 games.
He can play longer, better minutes both ends of the court, and that's what you need in the playoffs. You need a 45-minute, 46-minute guy that's doing it at both ends all the time, and I'm not sure, you know, I don't doubt that Durant can go out and, you know, play 42, 43 minutes and offensively dominate, but like on a long-haul basis as the time goes on, Tatum's much younger to do that in the forecast. You know, we're talking about the forecast here.
Right. So as much as I respect and understand that when a person doesn't want to do something of his stature, they don't have to. Someone who's going to hold you accountable to that kind of has the right to do that. So this is a stupid thing for him to do. I think he's actually hurting his trade value far more than he ever really understands, because the retirement contract talk basically signals to people, does he even really want to play? But fortunately for him, everyone knows how much he loves basketball, so that's not really a threat. So we'll see how that turns out, and we'll see what comes of that. But what I want to talk about for a quick second here is Pro Kids First Tee. I was invited to a fundraiser for the event by Howard Wright, whose father, Ernie Wright, started the organization to help kids here in City Heights. It's a course buried in the hood. And then you could drive past it, and it just looks like a gate. It was put there to help underprivileged kids, underprivileged minority kids, into the game of golf. And what that game has been able to do, what that facility has been able to do, what the organization has been able to do for people, young people in that area, has been absolutely fantastic. And I was able to attend the annual fundraiser where they raised $2 million. So hats off to them, and hats off to Howard Wright and everybody in that room who gave and that participated and showed up, because y'all know I'm broke. I pulled up to that place in my car behind a Ferrari and a Maserati. I was sandwiched in between, and I could tell you right now, if they put us in a lineup and picked who don't belong in this lineup, it would have been me. So thanks to Howard for having me at his table and for all the people for generously welcoming me into the night and getting to know me and sitting and talking and having a conversation. I drank 2 glasses of wine that night. So, you know, it really must have been a turn up. So, and I don't even drink wine. You feel me? Listen.
Turned you into an aristocrat. I drank 2 glasses of wine that night, and then I drove off with someone's Maserati. That's what I would have
done. Or somebody with somebody's wife in their Maserati.
Yeah. So that's awesome, dude. Wait, first off, I want to say that's awesome. And yeah, I love that great, story. Man. And I'm going to Google a little bit and ask you to learn a little bit more about that. Because I was just, part of my trip back was working a private gig, which raises money for cancer, for families that are, you know, needing cancer bills. And it's a local hospital in the Northern Ohio area where I'm from. And it's the 7th year I've hosted it. And
And so I love being involved in certain things, and they raise a ton of money. And the greatest thing about this project is this money is raised. So, families in those areas that are, you know, whether it's a young parent who has kids or a young child that's maybe stricken with something, and these families don't always have the greatest healthcare plans or whatever, and they're saddled. This fundraiser is one of those things that goes directly to somebody that's affected right now, like at this moment with treatments of cancer. And
there
so,
I am. There's me and Howard.
Oh, right. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, see, that's great. And so it's, dude, those are the types of things. I bet you that night you went home and it just, that you slept differently that night, I bet, because that's what these things do to me. I know. And you sleep differently.
I will never forget that bottle, right? Look, you see me in the back looking like that mm-hmm. bottle. I'm like, what is going on here? I will never forget this experience. That's Howard and his lovely wife.
Oh,
who
wow,
are fantastic, very nice, good, wholesome, smart people. And so I was, again, just ecstatic that I was able to join them at such a fantastic occasion for such a great cause.
Yeah, that is a cool cause. And it just makes you feel good. It makes you feel like there's a purpose to all the grinding.
Yeah,
and the hamster wheeling we do in life. And there's times to give back and help raise money and do what you can, and then get further involved, right? Because I know that now you're going to be a guy whose antennas are up, and you're going to be wanting to do more stuff and to see where you can help, you know, kids in the organization at the next one and other events that they do. So that's the cool part, is, you know, you enter into a community. These people I have at the Firelands Foundation, they've become family to me. I help them get, you know, fundraising items. My great friend Chris Russin at Wilson Golf in Chicago sends them nice things. Our friend here, Jason Finley at Callaway, I hit him up.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, would you mind sending something? It's a charity fundraiser. They do a silent auction, live auction. He's nice enough to send some equipment that they can auction off. I've got my great friend Al Milkerick that owns a limousine company. He donates limousines for some of the evening events, the live auction. So you come into this thing and it's like the weeks leading up to it, I get this great energy, I get this great feeling, and then after the event, those days afterwards following, you know, I just kind of like shut my phone off. I go off the radar for that week and just drink it all in, all that good feeling, and just enjoy what that does and not be distracted by the other little things that make you go, what the heck is this? You know? So yeah, man, that's awesome. I'm all into that, you know, seeing a good cause, seeing people work really hard for a good cause and being involved with it, man. It makes you sleep good at night.
I never put myself in a position to be anything but thankful when I get in rooms like that. I try not to talk a lot. I feel like those are one of those rooms where if you listen more than you talk,
mm-hmm.
you will 100% walk out a smarter man at the end of the night. And I truly believe I did that. And so it was a fantastic event and it was a fantastic night for me. But you, sir,
yeah.
You didn't show up to work last week.
Mm-mm.
What happened to you?
Well, I was supposed to do it from the hotels or, you know, one of the Airbnbs. So we go back, and if you know, I Ohio weather in August is like the worst. It's the same
Don't
as
I
Chicago.
Know.
So we go back. We got the niece is marrying off a niece there. My sister, my lovely sister Lisa, her middle child Madison was a beautiful bride on Saturday, August 7th, I guess that was 6th. Great wedding.
7th is my birthday, so that was definitely
a
Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, bro.
She got married on my birthday?
She got married on your birthday, yep. And that's why they did it, because once we started partnering up, they were like, we love that guy so much. So, yeah, Riley's sister got married, and Riley's getting married next June, so we'll do that. So that was fun, and then that great charity event on Sunday. And then because it rains all the time, but it's still 96 million degrees out there, I had, the windows cracked in the rental car over the weekend.
with my backpack and everything. And I didn't even realize it until I had to go try to work my computer that it rained on the inside of the car, like during a time where the window was cracked open, but I wasn't around it. And then it's so hot. I didn't know. It's just they gave me like a Yukon
Denali.
Acadia. That's what I had. Okay. It's a courtesy car. They're really nice. And so, yeah. And so now that's basically, well, it's done. They can save the, yeah, I got to get a new one. And they got to just save the logic bar so they can transfer a lot of stuff that I have on there, which are like just all my, yeah, I don't have any of that stuff. It taught me a lesson, man. It was so frustrating. But then I was just like, you know, so now I have to get a new one.
When you got there and saw it, so what was your first reaction?
Well, I didn't know why it wasn't working. No, I didn't know it got.
Oh.
So I didn't know why it wasn't working. And then I took it to an Apple Genius, and they were like, it was, you know,
moisturized.
Right, there you go. And so basically I was just like stuck. So I live in California. They're like, well, your best bet is you're just gonna have to save that, and they can, you know, most likely get the, what do you call it, like all the memory off the logic bar, but the computer will never, I can't use the computer.
It's right? A paperweight now.
It's a paperweight now. Yeah, so
it's a fan,
which
it's
is a bummer. Even though I Apple needed one, I didn't want to like have to buy one until I
buy
had
one.
To. And now
two completely different things.
Right. Yeah. So.
So yeah,
but it's,
man,
it's listen, good to be back. I'm
glad you're back. We've got so much more to go. We've got a eventful week. I'm sure we'll hear Shimon and Tatis, and at some point we'll actually talk about the Padres that are suiting up and playing baseball. But until tomorrow, John Brown and Jason Lawhead, we'll see y'all, man.
Happy anniversary, 1090, baby.